Well, I was advised that I do not need to be as shy as I was.
If that was shy, yeah. Don't get mad.
So I thought I would take a break and have Doug come up to show me how being shy really works.
I'm getting a little bad.
Doug also needs no introduction. Let me say that the thing that qualifies men and women in this season is to speak to the people of God and to lead the people of God is the quality of their devotion to the Lord. And in that respect, by that standard, Doug has no need for an introduction. His life and his devotion to the Lord are impeccable. And so it is a sense of great honor that I present him to. Come on.
Thank you for having Nancy and I here. It's good to be with you. We appreciate the invitation to come down here. Coordination with Mel and Carl and all that went on, we thank you for all your efforts, everyone. And I know Mel has a long list of you who were involved in putting this together, and I say thank you to you also. You know, no one was more surprised than me when I got the call from Corbett Galden that he was moving to the DFW area. I always thought, never asked the Lord, but always assumed he'd wind up in Lubbock someday with his grandkids and my hairdresser, because I know he's been envious of this for a while now. But we're excited for Corbin and Judy as they head down this way. Mel and some of them last night, Mel and Dana in particular, asked that I kind of give you a report on what's going on in Lubbock, Texas. And so when I got up this morning, I started asking the Lord about what should I tell you about Lubbock. And he reminded me of a few things. You know, back when Moby Dick was a minnow and Carl Irby was a young student at Texas Tech.
So about the same time, wasn't it?
Yeah. That was the first conscious move of God that I was aware of in Lubbock, Texas. This is back in the late 60s, early 70s. And the Holy Spirit blew across Lubbock, Texas, and was caught up pretty much in a charismatic movement, and men began to take hold of it and possess it, not in a good way, but to try to control it, monetize off of it, and so it kind of died out. And we had another move, came through later in the 70s of a lay witness movement, really invigorated identity in Christ apart from an ordination by an institution, and once again men took hold of it and tried to monetize it, and so it died off. We've had the Emmaus movement, the Kairos movement, movement after movement, where the Holy Spirit would really show us what it was to be in Christ, and man would constantly take hold of it and lay his hand to it. Now, a long time ago, the Lord showed me back when the Ark of the Covenant represented all that God was in the presence of man. If man touched that, man died. But since Christ, God will roll out his kingdom. And if man touches it, God will let the thing die. And he'll go over here and be working somewhere else. Man will be back over here propping this thing up for 50 years, trying to say, this is God, this is God, this is God. And this is what Sam's talking to you about today. Who is God really? What is he doing in our sphere? And how are we involved in that? So I'm excited to see where this next session goes. But, you know, through the years, God has come through Lubbock and given us the opportunity to become a representation of who he is. Even in the early 2000s, Sam and I personally met with the vast majority of all the leaders of Lubbock, Texas, religious leaders of Lubbock, Texas, declaring the gospel of the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom of God. And without fail, it was rejected by everyone. And so once again, it was as though the Holy Spirit withdrew, pretty much put restricted Sam from coming there and put Nancy and I on the road. And very little was going on in Lubbock, Texas. We're seeing the Holy Spirit move again today in Lubbock, Texas, but it's totally outside of any religious context. And it's nearly as though the what had been the former religious leadership has even been denied access to it. And he's coming in a total different way and revealing himself building his house, if you will, in a much different way. The representation, the opportunity to represent God is coming to people in a vast number of walks. Some of you have been there and experienced what Veritas Medical is, and we tend to focus on that. But that's just one small piece of what we call a Veritas Healthy Community. The Lord has moved numerous people in to assist us. Travis and Kristen Sullivan, we robbed from this area here, and they came up to be a part of us. Ronnie and Kim Harris have moved in from Lovington to be a part of what God's doing there. We've had a young lady move in from Germany, move back to the States and come in and be a part of what we're doing there. And God's just drawing people from all walks of life into this thing. And it's not just the medical community that's going on there. It really is a healthy community that through exact representation is attempting to change a culture. We want to change how you view wellness and sickness, how you view insurance and business, how you view stewardship of your own resources, not just monetary resources, but actually stewarding your health. It's our thought that as God put Dr. Edwards and myself together, that there was a clear sound from heaven that came. Part of the process when God called us into our rooms and began to establish us in our seat of authority, one of the things that came out of that was the things that we were going to have to begin to steward. And one of them was your wellness. Sam kind of touched on it today. Two of the favorite schemes of the devil is fear of death and fear of provision. In the United States, 85% of all bankruptcies begins with one major health crisis. So God has given us the opportunity to address both of these in one move. We, as Sam accurately said, healthcare and the cost of healthcare has been in the focus for the last 9 years. It's probably not going away anytime soon. But the things that the Lord is having us do, not just through Veritas Medical, but through Veritas Education, Veritas Garden, Veritas Kitchen, Veritas, there's all these Veritas grass-fed beef, Veritas farming, all of these different aspects of a natural grace given to men and women to be exactly who God created them to be for the benefit of the whole body is what's taking place there. Dr. Edwards and I just feel fortunate to get to be a part of it and get to watch what we're doing. Currently out there, for those of you who haven't been there, you know, Dr. Edwards came into our plant to be the chief medical officer for our employees and their families with the idea that he would begin to serve the public. And he was thinking he'd have a little TV tray and a computer and two patients besides ours. And he's been overwhelmed with people coming in. We're finishing the third renovation to expand his square footage within our plant. And he'll hire his eighth and final nurse practitioner to work under him. He has a staff of probably about 17 now, I guess, you know, within that facility, constantly seeing patients. Now, this idea of changing the culture and causing you to steward your own health, what we really want to change is, I'm sick, call the doc. No, I'm sick, what should I do to help myself be better? Or what did I not do that that got me into this place that I'm in. And so we are creating a totally digital, healthy community where you sit at home on your iPad or your computer and you resource through Dr. Edwards' people what you need to properly steward your well-being so that you don't need the doctors in there. I mean, that is the vision of where we want to go. So you don't utilize your monetary resources to take care of something that you should have taken care of yourself from the beginning. From where we started to where we've come to, you know, Ben and I've had to change over and over and over in this thing. It's much bigger than what we ever thought it would be, and it plays a much bigger role. But in the exact representation of God, one of the things that Dr. Edwards has come to understand is his four pillars of health, which are nutrition, hydration, movement, and peace. Now, peace is simply that which comes from the author of it, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who said, I'll give you peace. So his practitioners and Ronnie Harris and I and Vicki Wiesen spend much of our days bringing order to the chaos of the lives of the patients of Dr. Edwards. What will virtually happen in their clinic, and they get some of the most severe cases of different maladies, but what will happen, their practitioners will say, okay, I've done everything I can in the natural to restore your well-being. You must realize this is a spiritual root, and you're going to have to address the spiritual root. And then we begin the process of discussing with them the things of the kingdom. And as a result of that, people who are hurt, sick or hurting, much like in the days of Christ, were very eager to receive the gospel of the kingdom. And as we bring, while the nutrients and the supplements and all these things can help remedy some of the symptoms, wellness comes when they find the peace of God in their life. And most commonly, the peace of God comes in the relationship of husband and wife, father and children. When men begin to rule their home in a righteous way, it shifts everything. And healing will come immediately. It's amazing how fast these things come about. We know, we just began the fourth year in this process. And Ben and I, we meet almost every Friday morning and to measure what progress we may have made this week, or what progress we lost, or what we got to go redo and undo. And one thing we are convinced of is God will release this thing into the rest of the earth at some point, but it's not going to be until we have the exact representation that he intends to do. So we find ourselves repenting, changing our way, changing our thinking along the way to become more exact, touching more of God's original intent of how wellness and nutrition and movement and all would be done from his point of view. Also more about how his order would look, how righteous rule would look among his people, and what that standard is going to be like. And it's as though God is non-negotiable about this standard. If we don't get it right, it doesn't move at all until we seek him enough to figure out what it is that he wants to present. And he's very, I always think of the scripture that says he once winked at such nonsense, but he will no longer. We found the path to be so extremely narrow that there's just no wiggle room in what we do. And we know instantly when we're missing the mark. The intensity of the pain is so great, we know immediately that we missed the mark. But it's good times in Lubbock, Texas. In all of the years that Sam and I've worked together there, there's been, you know, people who received the message that Sam has brought out there. But never have we seen them assembled the way we're seeing them assembled today. And I think it's really around this opportunity for so many different people to to express who God created them to be in many different venues that will come forward, bring forth this thing and complement what Dr. Abrams is doing. And so it's just really, really, really an exciting time for us out there. And we continue to see things mature. We've got just a few more minutes, before lunch is going to be served. So I think I'm going to wait, Sam, if we can, to come back just to close with our thoughts about Lubbock. Anybody got a question about what we're talking about? Anybody not know about Veritas Medical or what's going on out there? Yes, ma'am.
Give a couple examples of how they've gone through the process, and then the spiritual process. You've got a lot of really good stories.
Probably one of the most common things we see is, 38 years ago when I was in medicine, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, we had ALS, I heard lupus one time working in a lab, but these things just didn't exist. They were non-existent. Now, it's either 6 or 7 out of 10 women walking down the street suffer from one of these. And they're all an autoimmune disease. Well, autoimmune diseases are basically diseases where your body attacks your body. What we've come to discover, in particular, and not limited only to females, but certainly females, out of the 50s and 60s, we came out with this ridiculous standard for what a woman should be, should look like, should weigh, should how, And as a result, junior high girls became very snippy toward one another and clannish, and there was a great deal of rejection and failure to measure up and different things like that that was put on young women. And as a result, they began to hate themselves. And the spirit of self-condemnation and self-hate would come into them thinking they did not measure up, and it would govern their life. The enemy would come as a deceiver and say to them, you're really not pretty enough. You're really not smart enough. You're too thin. You're too not thin enough, whatever it is. And they would say, yeah, you're right. And that give authority to that demon to set up in their soul. And from that point on, their body shape or their intelligence or whatever defined who they were rather than their relationship to Christ. And then they'd marry a jerk. And he reaffirmed it. Cooking's not good to boot. And when they come in this debilitated state to Dr. Edwards, they can begin to teach them about nutrition, teach them about supplements that will restore a portion of their health. But the real change comes when they come sit with one of us and we talk to them about their relationship with their husband or their father or their grandfather and what they've been through and where this thing got started. And we talk to them about righteous rule and the idea of submission to the headship of their husband, which, that curtails a lot of conversations right there. But for those that we can get through and we say, would you bring your husband back with you? We can begin to talk to him about what it is to rule righteously and for the benefit of his wife and kids, and the need for her to have someone in his life to father his spirit. And when they go and find their spiritual father and that process begins to take place, we see immediately the restoration of these females' health. In that relationship, if the men, the lack of self-confidence, the lack of identity in them gets healed, and it changes the whole thing. And so the whole order of marriage gets realigned. And what I know is, God's had his thumb on this thing of marriage for the last 10 or 12 years from where I'm standing, because in the building of the mountain of the Lord, in the building of the house of God, in the building of the body of Christ, marriage is the smallest building block in the unit. That's the first place where two things become one. If we can't get that right, we'll never see the corporate man come forward. So Satan plants himself there to divide marriage in order to keep the corporate man from coming forth. And what God is showing us is the resolution of that. And it's always righteous rule and the maturing of sons under the hand of a spiritual father who can call forth their spirit, restrain their soul long enough to call forth their spirit, and it changes their whole household. And then once it changes their whole household, they can come to the table and you'll begin to see these clans. And that's really what I think I'm seeing in Lubbock, is a clan, a coalescing of spiritual households into one thing based on what occupies their time. And the occupying of their time is representing God in a sphere that has an influence on the well-being of both the natural body and the spiritual body. Anybody else? I mean, we've literally seen both sides of this. We've seen people who come in who can't walk, and when they receive the revelation of the kingdom of God, they're walking. And those who don't, who reject it, they remain in that state. Or those who may come in walking but headed down that the position of not being able to walk, when they reject the things of God, their health just continues to deteriorate. There's no doubt, and this afternoon when we share some more, I'll talk some more about what God has shown us about the correlation of sin, and sin being not an action, but a mental state, a thought process. Any area where I disagree with God, showing where we're in disagreement with the sovereignty of God and how it manifests itself. These things, and how often Christ even was confronted with this, and his healings had to deal with something of changing, transforming our thinking, renewing our minds to a manner that we saw the sovereignty of God, was able to submit to it, and what God's original intent for his sons was.